Welcome to Dark Guidance. I'm Chris.
I'm Brian.
I'm Elman.
And Colin is being really quiet for some reason, not really sure why.
Just waiting to see if everybody would look at me. Brian, you can cut that bit out.
Fuck no.
I mean, I was just making you just go around the table.
It's always Chris, then it's always me, which, of course, you wouldn't know, but Colin's been on a few podcasts.
Right, moving on.
I'm the community in this community developed podcast.
Yes. So,
welcome to Community Integrated Podcasting for 2017.
It's shit. We're trying a new thing.
We've discovered that bringing the community on board actually just results in tears.
Yes. So.
Jokes.
Not themes, tears.
Yeah. Mostly.
Just tears.
Just tears. So, speaking of which, we're going to talk about this also in between. There's a lot of drama alarm around it. We literally don't care at this point. The thing isn't over with. So we figured we should actually talk a lot, however, instead about their intent. This is how it sort of practically plays, because we've mucked around with this pack for going on 2 weeks, and incidentally, by the time you hear this cast, there probably is an update, so what we might be talking about might be wildly out of date.
Hopefully Recon's a lot better.
Hopefully Recon is playable.
It's future us.
Yes.
Recon?
Yeah, it's Recon.
Okay,
that's how they pronounce it now.
What?
What? Well, you moved the T from Retcon.
Yeah. That was the major feedback. CID, working for you.
Yes. CID.
I wish you guys could see my face right now.
So, Frawley, as a member of the community, how do you feel about this change?
Somebody explain to me both the joke and the madness of what you just said.
Alright, so, let's talk about SR2017, shall
yes.
we? So, one of the things that I found most interesting about this packet, leaving aside all of the stuff that is currently causing people to be upset, is that the stated intent from Privateer Press is that the scenarios, despite the fact that this is a scenario packet, the scenarios will not be, or are not intended to be, the primary deciding factor in a game. So their aim is that you will not win by scenario unless you are already winning by some other mechanism.
So let's be fair, they want them to be a totally irrelevant, non-existent win condition.
I wouldn't say that, because I've found that there are scenarios you can win, and they don't feel unnecessary. Like, they don't feel...
It might not be intended, though.
Well, okay, that's very true. How should I put... Okay, working... Yeah. For feedback to Privateer Press, I can win on standoff, and I can also win on spread the net. Fix that shit.
Yeah,
that's,
yeah.
Not, that's not acceptable, right?
Look, every game I've had on those scenarios so far has been an absolute farce of completely ignoring the scenario, because we look at it, and we go... Yeah, I could get to, like, 3. I'm not going to beat you by 6. I could get ahead by 3. Like, trying to get ahead by 6 was just not even on the cards for either of us. And we're talking, like, a Gorton player.
So Brian and I played, and it did go... It worked exactly, I think, how they intended to work. He was winning on attrition the whole way through.
And
he
scenario.
Was up, yeah, you were up by, like, 1 point or 2 points for most
of
the game.
For most of the game.
And then at the end of the game, you closed it out on scenario, right?
And I gave you extra points by killboxing myself on this Delta killbox on the side.
We need to rename it. It's no longer the killbox, because it's the kill zone.
But it was the killbox when I did it.
It's fine, but you're ruining the joke, idiot.
Yes.
It's no longer the killbox, it's the kill zone. And it's not a kill zone, it's a mildly inconvenient zone.
Okay.
Yes.
Okay. The cow zone.
Yeah.
Yeah. Dark Guidance would like to remind people that the kill box
misery.
The
mildly inconvenient zone.
Ooh.
I like it.
I like it.
But misery makes it sound like it's a bigger deal than it is, because it's not a big deal.
Yes.
You especially in the scoring.
Yeah. Not only do you have 2 more inches to work with, but if you accidentally killbox yourself, you're like, oh well. Especially on a scenario like Dumbbells or Recon. Like, God, if you literally have to killbox yourself 3 times in a row for it to even matter.
It's easy to understand why. I mean, we spoke about this the other day. It's that previously the killbox was worth 40% of a win.
Well, initially it was worth death, right?
Sure, so, okay. When it was retarded, it was death.
Well,
it was 100% of a win.
Yes.
Then they took it down to 40% of a win.
Yep.
Right? And now it's in the realms of 10 to 20%.
Yes.
Because at face... Sorry, 10 to 30%. Because at face value, it's 2 out of 6.
Yep.
But an average game that you win on scenario isn't going to be 0-6. It's going to be more like 2-8 or 4-10.
Yep.
Right? So... You know, 2 out of your 10 points is 20%. And at best case scenario, it's a third, it's 2 out of 6, right? It's a lot less than it used to be.
Yes.
And I think the new terrain sort of guidelines that are in the Steamroller packet as well make it that it's much less likely that you're in a scenario where you need to be really pushing the limits of the kill box just to stay alive. Because it's much more likely there's line of sight blocking terrain. It's much more likely there's something there that you can use and work with to try and keep yourself alive.
Raven tier strike force don't exist anymore.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
Well, they do actually, but that's they do as of like a couple of days ago. But we'll more on that later.
But yeah, so I think it's an interesting change as long as you don't particularly love the old scenario game. It's certainly a blow to some of the control casters. I think it will actually have an effect on some of the control casters. I'm not sure that it will really hurt the archetype in Haley because
she don't bother
plays
me.
Attrition. She plays attrition.
Winning is the archetype there. It's not control.
I have always played her attrition and will continue to play her attrition, but I still think it's not good for the game to just completely dismiss scenario like that. Scenario has always been very enjoyable. It has been very tactical. I don't see why they needed to go the route of dismissing it. It seems odd to me because scenario as an overall thing, the reason that the Steamroller Pack exists, right, is quite straightforward. It's to stop the game being Gunline City.
Yep.
Okay. If you play the game core, the best army you can do is an army with Repo 5 and infinite range guns, right?
Sure.
Like, because all you want to do is chip like 3 models out of their army every turn and lose none, and then come back and chip and then keep doing that, right?
Without Steamroller.
What happens without Steamroller.
Yeah, one of the best casters in the game, the very start, was Kane, and it was for the simple fact, or in Sorcia, but Kane specifically because he'd kill everything and then he'd fuck off.
Yep.
And even after you'd finished killing his entire army, as long as he could stay out of your range, he would just steadily chip down whatever the hell it was that you had to be chasing him with.
The good old match.
Because there's no clock, there's no scenarios to win on, there's no kill. It's just eventually you have to lose your cast and it doesn't happen. So the point of the scenarios is to stop that from happening.
Yes.
And in my opinion, I thought 6 to 7 of the 8 current ones, the 2016 ones, really did that well.
Hmm.
So to backtrack, I agree with your statement that was the point. I think they've actually refined that down to that being the only point. So what they did before was they said, not only will it force you to engage, you can win the game using this.
Yeah.
They've stripped back from that. They've just said, you know what? All it's there for is to make you engage.
Keep you
as
honest.
Long as it stops you from just running away from the opponent and playing a gun line that repos back 5, which the current these new ones do stop you doing that, you will lose on scenario if you just keep backing up.
Yeah.
So they've just basically gone, rather than you could win in 2 turns by locking someone out and then playing TKs or something similar, you can't do that anymore. That's what they've basically implemented, is just a straight fix to Haley or Kruger going, haha, look at you.
So then
or
why are they so damn complex?
I don't know.
Why is it that they've all got between 4 and 6 active elements?
Why is it the
least complicated one, the dumbbell? What's dumbbell called?
Not standoff. Dumbbell is called out. No, it's not outlast. Breakdown. Breakdown. Breakdown.
Yeah. Okay, so dumbbell has 3.
Yep.
But it's, and I know it's a finicky thing, right? But it's still, okay, it's 3, and you've got to consider the fact that it's different models in each, and blah, 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 right? So I don't know. It just seems like a lot going on for, like, it seems like they're trying to simplify it and dial it back.
Yep.
But also make it like it's this busy.
I did find that, especially starting off with SR 2017, there was a lot of cognitive load.
That's getting used to a new thing, right?
Let Brian speak, because Brian was the one who actually really put this to us.
That's true.
Oh, no, it's just the whole... I think the reason why they have so many active elements in the middle is to actually force the middle. Like, if you just put one zone, you put one model there. If you have multiple zones, you have multiple places where your models have to be. So it means that your list has to be dynamic and moving around. It also means you have to score in more different ways, so you have to have different diverse list types in order to actively play the scenario game. The scenario game isn't designed to win you a game, but it's designed to integrate you into it.
Right, which is contradictory. So they've gone, alright, we want the scenario to influence list design. That seems somewhat obvious to me, both through their comments and the fact that you've got the split requirements of designs, right?
Yep.
So they want it to influence list design, but they've also said, scenario doesn't fucking matter, you'll never win on it. So it doesn't influence your list design because you can contest with anything.
So you will win, you won't win on it unless your opponent brings something that can't contest in to the zone or into the scenario.
And every model can contest, right? So it doesn't actually influence list design at all.
Except we have won games, and so it doesn't mean that you have to involve yourself in the scenario. It's not the scenarios aren't designed for you to be able to win on the top of two, like with Tenegra. They're designed to, over the course of a game, through the course of attrition, you end the game that way instead of assassination. It's just another end game goal rather than a goal to end the game.
But you're ignoring my point.
Sure.
My point is that they've said we want... Not they've said. It seems clear that they want them to influence army design so that you actually have a bit of a mix of stuff so that you can control with both your jacks and your units, right? But it doesn't, because it doesn't fucking matter.
Yeah.
It doesn't matter, because you don't
need...
You can just
bring jacks and just test all the zones in the world.
And just not give a fuck, right? And you just go, scenario doesn't matter. I'm just going to keep attritioning with my war jacks, which is too... contrary
gets
angles, right?
Sure, but I mean that's what the Cid is for. So I mean, one of the things they could do. Well, no.
To an extent.
Sudden infant death.
So what you can do is one of the things they can try is maybe also contesting only the zones that you have models for. I mean, that's what we're trying to do here. Maybe that's the answer they need to do. Maybe they wanted to see what would happen if you just had scoring there, but if you also have to contest with those types of models. Maybe that will also force list diversity that they're looking for.
Well, I'm just going to bring up a thing. I've found that even the jack spam, like, if you go as hardcore as you can, because of the way tier lists tend to work out, either if you go full jacks or full infantry, you have enough pieces to just score the zones that you want to anyway. It really doesn't matter.
Sure,
to ignore even answers like the Stormwall or the
Prime Axiom,
or the TEP, which just, like, makes babies. So
sure, but
like,
I...
Here's a jack. Also, I've got controlling your infantry zone with my little dinger, little mechanic or something. Or like,
Strangeways Squire.
Sure, but
in addition, the caster always scores. So even if you've got like Karchev, you're just like, I've got a million jacks, but Karchev's sitting in the circle zone, so I'm good.
Yeah, but there's approximately one faction with Butcher and Karchev in it.
Sure,
exactly.
But you've got like, but Terminus can do the same thing. It's like, I'm having Terminus camp on like the jack zone, and here are a million Mechanithralls.
Also, you'd be surprised how fast your infantry models disappear if they're the only things that can test an infantry zone.
That's true.
We haven't tested it. Currently,
they'd have to completely redesign the whole fucking pack, right? Because, you know, if that's all you could contest with, they'd have to bring them closer, simplify them. You'd probably, I don't know, possibly make them smaller, make it more like flags and objectives
so
than the giant zones, right?
I think
it'd be a
complete
reason
why,
it's not happening.
I think another reason why you're seeing so many elements is an attempt to spread the game laterally as well.
Mm.
So, and I think that's worth it, right? Because when you're playing scenarios in 2016, where you've just got a central piece and that's it.
It's everyone get in here.
Yeah, exactly. And that fosters a very specific type of game and force.
Yeah,
so I was glad to see them spread them really wide.
Yeah, I agree.
I would say...
People hated Incursion.
Yeah.
I have always liked it.
Yeah.
I have liked it when I was playing Trolls, and it sucked as playing Trolls.
With enough, Incursion in a system where you had to win by 6 points would actually be perfectly fine. Because you couldn't control it with Harvey or Haley for long enough to make it actually bad.
Yeah.
So,
which is weird, because a lot of people are talking about, like, listening to other people talk. They said they didn't like Incursion, but then this is exactly what Incursion is, just on a slightly different scale.
Different.
How is Dumbbell not Incursion?
Right, it is Incursion, but it looks different, and you need so many points to win that your control caster can't physically lock you out for long enough to make it happen.
Which is oddly weird that Recon's the bad one, because Recon's the one they thought would be the one that would be the most effective of the old scenarios, when really it's the least effective because it is the wrong design...
Oh.
In the wrong place.
But it's not the least effective. I think it's more the case that it's not effective enough under this new system because you have to score so many damn points.
Two games today, zero control points. Zero. For me, zero.
That's a really not very large number of control points.
And
nobody bothered killing an objective in either game.
We just looked at it and go...
Why bother?
Why bother? Why would I waste attacks on an objective to get at most 2 points?
So you weren't playing Ghost Fleet against somebody with armory.
Yeah.
That's true.
Both
of our objectives were like meaningless and irrelevant, and we looked at them and went, that's 15 boxes at armor 18 that I don't need to kill.
Yep.
It's not moving anywhere.
But the thing, Colin, you guys brought up is the objectives, and the objectives are really weird because they're in only half the scenarios.
Yep.
And then I think they removed three of them in the most recent kit, but I mean, only three of them had relevant abilities anyway. And then they're like, and then their abilities that you're like, okay, they're either something that are stupid powerful with fire, and then they toned it down. And then it's magical weapons, which is super, you know, useful, but then it's in a 50-50 roll of the dice if you have it in your list or not. And you're just like, then what's the fucking point?
Well, they addressed that directly. I mean, Hungerford came out and specifically said... So they addressed the issue of the objectives fairly directly, because they came out directly on the actual CID forums and said, hey, we're removing three of them, we're keeping the three that we think have the most relevant abilities, we want all of them to have relevant abilities, and we want to have as few abilities as we can in terms of we don't want to make it really super confusing for people and have like seven different objectives. So I wouldn't be surprised if you see at the end that there's just like three or four.
Currently, most of them are pointless.
Yep.
One of them is like really, you take it because of the 5% of games that it matters. Yep. There's the fire one that matters on like a handful of models, and then the rest of them are completely garbage and might as well have no rules on them.
So, one of the suggestions that came up in that forum, which would be interesting for them to pursue, is you choose your objective after you've chosen this.
Ooh, that makes sense to
that's
me.
Kind of nice.
I'd be fine if they just went back to objectives being blank fucking models that didn't do anything, because...
Well, I tell you what, we'll include that one in the pack and you can pick that one every time.
Like, why don't they just... Like,
but I'm taking fire.
I understand.
I'm taking
that, but like, if they just...
I'm 100%
if they
want to
have completely ineffectual objectives...
They don't.
Then why are they so fucking pointless?
Well, because Armory is not.
Armory
and Fuel
is
100% not. Like,
they're completely toned down to... Compared to current ones, they're super toned down.
Compared to current,
well,
current compared to
2016, yes.
I don't know, because
no, the 2016 one, it makes a giant cloud.
Yep.
One of them is basically immune to shooting, and one of them gives you cover.
Yes.
The comparative example is -2 range while base to base
from spells.
Okay.
Right, from spells.
Yes. That
or,
one is stupid.
What's the shooting one? It's.
There's one for magic as well.
That was the magic. The -2 range.
It's the exact same thing.
It's the same. One of them, I think the magic one's within four, and the ranged one is base to base.
Yep.
Well,
and,
so,
one,
so the
and then the
kept,
magic attack one
the
is
only
more.
Three they kept were...
Magical
heal,
weapons.
Heal D3 to all members of your battle group that are in base to base with the objective, which was surplus, which they
no,
see
stockpile.
As... Stockpile. Sorry. And they see that as quite good. I would argue that, but they see that as quite good.
It went up in vague value because you could
weapons,
move through.
Magic weapons and fire. They're the three that they've currently kept.
So, funnily enough, they kept the two I actually routinely use, which is Stockpile and Armory now, which is the heal one. So, Stockpile, to be perfectly honest, I use because you could sack Horned Jacks. Like, I don't think D3 repairs
enough. That's gone,
enough.
Though.
But here's the thing, right? If you have a list with mechanics and you've just got two jacks, and you don't need magic weapons or fire because you're...
It's not terrible.
It's not terrible. It's there. Armory is a godsend for certain factions and completely useless for others.
Does that D3 heal... Is it actually battle group or is it only Warjacks and Warbeasts?
Warjacks,
I think it's only Warjacks.
I believe it's
Warjacks,
right? Warbeasts.
Yeah.
I remember I couldn't
it
heal...
It was casters.
I couldn't
Scar
heal...
Would definitely
I couldn't heal Karchip with it. I remember that, even though he...
Yeah.
So,
yeah,
okay.
And then finally, the fire one. I can say from experience, it's definitely the flashiest. It doesn't actually do as much because a lot of the models that get hit by an attack with a fire... will probably die to the said attack. There are some funny exceptions, like guys, Dark Guidance recommends you buy Silverline Stormguard. Because if you buy Silverline Stormguard, you shoot that AoE that leader has,
five
right?
Five-bitch
pipeline of fire. I mean...
Can't I just take Bloat Thralls?
You could
then fire and acid.
I mean, you could you could take a lot of things, like not Silverline Stormguard, for instance.
It's Diablo's Lightning Breath, but it's also on fire.
Yeah.
Correct. I mean, the funniest one is the Fulcrum, because you can make it ice fire.
Icy fire spray.
Ice fire, which is always awesome. But yeah, like, that
thanks,
one is...
Thanks, George R. Martin.
It's frozen burning chemicals. That's what it is. It's a spray of frozen burning chemicals.
To be fair, they do exist.
Yes.
Magic.
It makes sense.
Yeah, they now
checks
breathe...
out.
They now breathe, like, basically nitro. No, not nitro. It's like, liquid nitrogen. That's it. But
so,
yes.
So... I would have guessed that you're probably going to see 3 to 4 objectives in the final packet. You're going to see one that does something to do with fire, one that does something to do with magic weapons, one that probably does something to do with healing, and then a fourth one, which I'm guessing will have a defensive thing of some sort.
Sure, but I still dislike that they're in 3 of 6 rather than six of six.
I don't.
No, it just... then like. I have the magical weapon, but then I don't have
well,
the
toolbox one is garbage.
Yes.
Sure, but then it's just...
It makes the toolbox one, aka in this case the magic weapons one, completely fucking irrelevant because the 5% of games where you desperately need magic attacks, you've got a 50% chance of having it.
Yep.
So you can't fucking plan around it. So you absolutely have to be taking your Strange Ways and your Optifex Directive and your whoever the fuck
all
else.
All the things that don't have access to it or have very limited access, it gives you another way to chip it up.
Sure,
which
but
is what they specifically stated. They
But it's so irrelevant.
Yeah. No, I'm going to disagree. Having used it a fair bit, it doesn't matter. If you, like, you have plans for dealing with, like, realistically, the model I'd use the armory objective for, frankly, is just to kill baby Haley.
No.
Or just the Haley 3 in general. But I have plans if I don't have that objective to kill those models, right? It's just, if I do kill them, I can blow them up with my Conquest or stab them in the face.
So, should be complaining, it would be me if I was playing Ghost Fleet, right?
Sure.
Because it just randomly sometimes gives my opponent a massive advantage that they wouldn't have otherwise had.
Sure. But this is literally the reason why Bunker was just pretty much the objective last one.
Yes.
Because it was always relevant. It didn't matter. If it was in 50% of your list, it was there, and then it was hard to kill.
Yeah.
So it was
and
just
good. I liked good.
Sure.
Yeah, it was
you know how many ways there are to get good at Insignia?
Yeah.
And
the trench guy.
But
no,
so
he
has with
it.
You
guys
had it.
So with utility objectives, they're just unreliable nonsense that it's just why bother if you're not going to do it all. Like if they keep it the way it is, it doesn't really hurt the scenario packet. It just makes me go like, why?
Hey, I'm voting for Brian here.
I wouldn't like objectives are what they are. I wouldn't actually really care that much if they got removed. I wouldn't also care if they became blank, like literally all of them became Bunker.
Well,
right?
That's what they were.
Three years ago, whenever. The
why even
it was.
Bunker? Just make them what they were. Just. Yeah. Armor 18 with 15 boxes and you score points if you kill it.
They existed.
I know. I'm aware, probably.
It was a real thing.
It just, the abilities were cool, but then they started pulling them out of more scenarios. They started doing weirder and weirder things where some were obviously good and some were obviously bad. And now they're trying to fix it, but then they're still keeping the weird, here's a toolbox item that you get in 50% of your list. I hope you can roll that 4+.
So would you rather see one in every single one, or would you rather see none at all?
I'd rather see it in every single one. Especially if they want it to be this weird scoring thing that they're doing. I mean, just put it in a zone somewhere or just stick it in like a relevant place where it's just around. I don't think it's that hard, especially in these scenarios.
From my experience with this pack, the scenarios that are good or are live or feel right are the ones where you can score 4 to 5 points at once. Because that means that you actually can play for scenario if it's really hard, but it also means that plays, like, you actually are encouraged to play with a pack. And objectives help with that.
I'm gonna give an opposite opinion to that. So, I don't find them interesting at all. No. I think that they're really boring, because all they are is a static, immovable, armor 18 model, which is kind of difficult to kill, right? It absorbs attacks in a really boring way. It says, your army needs to divert X percentage of your resources to kill this boring piece of shit that does absolutely nothing. Right? Now, the game is about trading and attrition and, you know, playing smart. There's nothing smart about rolling half-decent dice at an immovable object.
Gives me something in my mortal.
Right, it's literally just just a fucking, like, it just absorbs attacks. That's all it does.
Yeah, but that is important in its own way, because each attack has value, especially in an attrition game.
Oh no, I'm completely aware of how valuable that is it takes, but it's not interesting.
Sure.
So I would rather them not exist, because it's not interesting.
Let's be fair, right? That's why they do stuff. Because otherwise...
Yes. Flags are way better, right? Flags are better because they don't absorb attacks, but they still force you to be near them and still force you to have models there.
They
and
do
all
absorb
those, all
electrolytes.
All those attacks... Okay, the electrolyte... I play Signar and I'm just like...
Thanks, bro.
Like,
in addition, like, flags have changed. They're like actually the deadest parts of the scenario.
Sure, the old flags, right? Old flags force you to have models there, force you to do all the scenario goodness, but your attacks are going in interesting things, not the fucking flag, not the fucking objective. Hashtag electrolytes.
Yeah.
I don't know, it seems really... meh.
Yeah.
I'm on board.
Well,
if they were gone, there's different things I could do.
I'm vaguely feeling that with the general pack, to be honest.
Was there a time where you could actually move the objectives? I feel like that was a thing once upon a time.
Very... You could teleport them using circles, shifting stones. That was a good time.
That makes them more interesting.
No, it did not make them more interesting. It made them exit the field of battle to a point where no opponent could ever score your objective turn one.
I remember there was a scenario where you had to kill the objective to score the zone. It didn't actually specify that even though the objective was in the zone, right, it didn't specify the objective had to be in the zone at the time to stop you scoring it. So,
this was goodbye, my lover.
Goodbye, lovers.
Goodbye, my friend.
Teleport TK. All right, come and get it.
It's fucking sitting on the board end.
Anyway, in the interest of semi-moving on, I'm going to bring up a few things. First of all, as I said, I like the ones with 4 to 5. I think any less and it just, this attack is literally too dead. I'd be curious to see where they go with that. Objectives, as we said, they're kind of boring, but whatever. Personal experience is that the caster you want to be in SR 2017 is Karchev. And that's...
Karchev!
I don't know if I think that's a good thing, like, in the slightest.
Well, that's bringing back the whole Terminus game.
But
can you kill a Warjack by yourself? Can you face tank a Warjack by yourself? You're in!
But here's the thing, it's like, Karchev is the scenario caster of 2017, because everything about it... Like, the thing is...
Okay.
And one of the weaknesses...
Maybe Butcher 3.
No. Here's the catch, and it's what I realized after playing it. The weakness of Karchev in SR 2016 is contesting your opponent's flag.
Yep.
That is irrelevant now, because if you're in a scenario where there's two zones, typically, from everything I'm seeing, you control them with Warjacks, so that's easy. In addition, instead of, I have to contest your flag, it's, no, I have to control my own zone.
Mm-hmm.
Right. So, instead
they can have their one peasant point.
Exactly. Yeah. It's just like, we can just keep ticking up.
Even if they're going up by one, they need 5 turns just to get far enough ahead to almost be able to win. And in 5 turns, you have lost your entire army to Karchev.
Correct. In addition, like, what happened in, like, the pit, for instance, is the pit is theoretically a good scenario for Karchev, but in practice it actually isn't, because he has to sacrifice real models. Mm. So you're actually getting attritional advantage by camping your flag, because he has to feed models to, like, a striker or a butcher or whoever, right? Not the case. Yeah. Oh my goodness. And then furthermore, if there are scenarios with blowouts, he can just blow them out like nobody's business. With the tier list...
Hashtag blow them all out.
Blow them all out. Also, I'm going to be perfectly honest.
Business.
Putting fire on Karchev spray is hilarious. Putting fire on Behemoth's guns is really strong, because it means that Behemoth...
Melee weapon's pretty strong on them too.
It must be good playing the AoE faction.
Yeah,
exactly.
It must be good playing the faction where everything just became 4-inch AoEs for no apparent reason.
Correct, and now it has fire, which is like, I used to have to pay 38 points for a Colossal that did.
That's a powerful attack.
You used to have to get a victor, and now you're just like, free objective.
And yeah, so this is why it's just like, well, it's also, and as we're probably going to grow into when we talk about theme forces, one of the things they've brought up for SR 2017 is to encourage assassinations, and in my experience what's actually happened is the exact opposite. It encourages you to take casters that don't die.
Yep.
And you know,
well, I mean, that's because I think that's completely irrelevant to the scenario factor, because you're like, yes, you take the casters that don't die, but that doesn't necessarily dissuade assassination.
No, I think let's put it this way. Most of the best attrition casters in the game, who were best attrition casters and have been for quite a long time in a lot of cases, the style of play that they play and the way that they play is inherently difficult to assassinate. They all run deep
back in
the backfield. And if you combine that with a scenario where you can't force them to come forward for whatever reason, and then combine it with a scenario where there is line of sight blocking terrain available and there's other things available to stop them dying, your chance of assassinating them becomes basically nil.
Sure.
So you're stuck
in this. You can play Gorshe 2 at the back of a zone behind a forest and just feed them your army 3 times, basically, before they actually get to try and kill them. Like, it's just not going to happen. Right. Yeah, so I think that's my biggest single comment would be that the 2017 pack, as it currently exists with terrain as it is currently advised, I feel makes assassination less live than it previously was. That would be my feel on what I've seen.
I don't know.
I would agree 100%, especially because you have guaranteed terrain in your quadrant, yes, and almost inevitably that terrain. And also, you can't killbox yourself on the side, and you're encouraged, even in a lot of scenarios, to be on the side of the table.
Yeah. And you can killbox yourself if you have to anyway.
Yeah. Sorry, mildly inconvenience yourself.
Yes. You can mildly inconvenience yourself to avoid death if you need to.
I mean, maybe it's just me, because I've only ever played casters that were not squishy little dickheads. I mean, I played Trolls and Kador, and they're both just like, I'm sitting in the middle of the field, I don't give a shit. So maybe that's just a perspective where that's how I've always played the game.
Flip side, how many times have you killed my caster and how many times have I killed yours, right?
I can't even remember the last time I had a caster been my caster murdered.
It's how, like, most of our games end.
Between us, and I usually win.
Boom! Hello! It's National Superstar Podcast with Brian Woods.
Brian Woods laying out the CID, Community Integrated... I was going to
integrate that into your community, Frawley.
Yep.
And to be fair, that's not because Frawley's the worst player. That's
because
that's because I have magic dice against Frawley, and Frawley has shit luck against me. But no, most of our games...
I would say the vast majority of times I've beaten you is you've come forward and I just kill you.
Sure, but I feel like that's the least way... Like, I feel like I don't die that way. I feel that's not the way I lose most of my games.
I don't know. I don't watch them.
That's fair. Because I play trolls, they don't die a lot.
Yeah.
Sorsha doesn't die. Butcher Tree really doesn't die that much. Usually I lose in 2016 was on a scenario game. Or... the game attrition to the point where, of course, you killed my caster, but yeah. So it's not really an assassination.
There's no longer anything left between my caster and your army.
I'm trying not to factor that in, right?
I know. I'm aware, but that's only how I feel
I've
mostly lose.
I've done that to people where I'm like, yep, I killed 110 points of your army, also a caster kill.
I feel I don't lose on assassination that much, barring maybe the games we've had and playing against Little 3.
Yeah.
Sure.
Incidentally, like, in order to be an assassin...
I play a lot of Little 3.
Yeah. Incidentally, to compete in this, like, new meta, as an assassin, you realistically do have to be, like, a Ron or a
Little
3.
You need to be
Little
3.
No, Ron.
No,
Ron, Little 3.
Ron.
And Little 3 struggling right now.
Yeah.
From what I'm told. Just because people are getting used to that style of gameplay.
Well,
and tears have affected it. Things affected it as well.
Yes. So that brings me to something I wanted to talk about, actually, which is Think Forces and how they sort of relate to this whole, like, attrition assassination kind of angle they're playing up 2017. Because, how should I put it? If you have, like, 20 extra points, that's pretty good for attrition, right?
Yes, also, side note, next time he makes a burn like that, we're going to have to call it hardwood.
Oh.
Missed it that time, but we can cut that back in.
Ah, oh, shit. See, this is part of the CID process. Improving our podcast.
CIP.
CIP, yes.
Community Integrated Podcasting.
Well, this CIP enjoys the hardwood. That's community approved.
But no, picking up from what Chris is saying, one of the things that we've noted is certainly that there are a lot more infantry coming into the game from Theme Forces, and because there was already a lot of infantry hate available, you see most commonly casters that can bring infantry are casters that assist them in the attrition game in some way, shape or form. Because if you don't assist them in the attrition game in some way, shape, or form, your opponent blows them all off the table and you're left with your three remaining warjacks against their army.
I have this nice objective that seems to give my guns fire. I wonder what that does to infantry.
Yeah. Yeah, it's a good time.
Yeah, it's
a real good time. So I've been playing Gorshe 2, and, I mean, for Cricks, Ghost Fleet is an all-recursion army. Infernal Machines is a mostly recursion army, and it looks like Banes, which I think it's going to be called... Banes!
Yep.
Banes is also likely to involve elements of recursion because there's UA mini feats and there's casters, and that's just kind of how Cricks rolls. So,
in fact, can we rename Banes to Bones?
Sure.
Thank you.
Sure.
But yeah, it's I mean, the casters that were delivering that infantry would generally either had recursion packages. Like, it's primarily defensive over offensive is the way to go with infantry delivery. Like, it doesn't really matter if you can make your infantry destroy whatever they touch if they don't get there.
Yep. Yep. So it's all about delivery, which, I mean, the terrain, again, helps.
Yes.
But there are the most powerful casters, I think, that are going to come out over the next sort of 6 to 12 months are going to be the casters that can... attrition in a very, very strong and reliable fashion against a wide range of opposing forces. So if you're capable of bringing infantry that can kill both jacks and other dudes, and you've got some way to either keep it alive or bring it back again, then I feel
like
you're
kind of a good team. Like, that's pretty much how it used to be. Be able to play against all the things.
I agree.
Yeah. So one thing... A
yeah,
couple
I've
of things we've noticed.
It's just not assassination.
It's just not assassination.
It is quite definitively not assassination. Unless you redefine assassination to be the death of any individual dude, in which case
there is a
shitload of assassination going on that table.
Oh,
some of those dudes get assassinated, come back, and get assassinated again.
Right. It's a really bad luck for some of these guys.
I'm going to blunt this one, right? Like, look, assassination has always been the death of the potato.
Yeah, all right, sure. The opinions of Nathan Frawley.
So, I would agree with you that good players rarely get assassinated.
And when they do, it's because they go, all right, Colin.
I need to take this risk.
Here's a 20%er.
Yep.
I'm going to give you that 20% so that you put yourself in a shit position and I punish you for it. And if I lose to that 20%, I go, well, fuck, you got me.
Either that or the situation where you're like, if I move out of this person's threat, then I'm going to be down to sort of a 40% chance of winning attrition. Therefore, yeah. I'm going to give them this 20%.
Yeah, yeah.
Because, or I'm going to give them this sort of 50% because yeah. I'm going to end up at a 60% if they don't take it.
Yeah.
And that's the best I can do.
There are choices, and it does happen, but it's usually trying to give yourself an advantage, or you're so far up shit creek that it doesn't matter.
Yeah.
Or it's like Ran, and
you've stepped on the table, or you're
playing against one of like five dedicated assassin casters,
and you either miscalculate or it's just not physically possible for you to get out of it.
Well, like it's like little three with like her 26.
Yeah, sometimes you just have to walk into it.
Yeah,
yeah,
but like it's unavoidable, so you just hope you get lucky.
But
there
are still ways to play around it. No, there's shield guards, there's line of sight, there's high stats, there's terrain.
You're absolutely right, but I mean, some casters are just really good at it.
Yes.
Okay, but if a player is going to go into a major con and go, I'm going to assassinate fucking 5 games out of 5.
Shoutouts to Billy.
They're fucking wrong, alright?
No, no, I don't disagree. I don't think assassination is the only game plan, but I do think there are casters that are in the game that even against good players,
yes,
they will have a game into an assassination.
Most of those casters have an attrition game as well.
Yeah, I don't disagree.
You go, I could assassinate your caster,
or
I
kill everything.
Both your fucking important
and
pieces.
And that's where Crawley's point comes in, which is more typically the players that are less experienced are the ones that walk into the assassination and get killed.
Where they make the assassination more valuable
than the attrition game.
The potato loses their caster, the non-potato loses their key pieces instead and has to struggle through it for the rest of the game.
And then eventually either loses the game as a result or comes
but
back.
But again, not losing on assassination.
Generally.
Sure.
Generally, but I don't think that's 100% rule.
No, I've definitely been shot in the face by Lilith and died. As you say, I took the choice. I went, well, there's nothing more I can do than this.
Machinations used to do it to me all the time. Fucking, you know, Raven Tear Strike Force bullshit, right? But it was really specific. Like, that's not even like, that's okay, I can deploy my caster anywhere and it doesn't fucking matter to you, right?
Yes.
Correct.
I can do
point of order, by the way, as the resident person who dies all the fucking time randomly, right? It does happen, but a lot of the times it is a lot of last gasp assassinations, or possibly I miscalculated, or I take calculated risk. A lot of times, like,
sure,
you might lose the game if I keep my caster out of the fight.
There's three prongs to that trident, right?
Exactly.
One is you're winning so hard that you force him to go for long shots.
Yes.
Right? Two is that you're winning so hard that you get cocky and make a fuck up.
Yep. I mean, All three, you
choose that option where you're like, I could either be really safe this turn and still have a 55% chance of winning next turn, or I could push super hard, have an 85% chance of winning next turn, but give them a 20 or 30% chance of me dying.
That's the third prong.
Yeah. That's the more typical one that I've seen happen.
I think there's a fourth prong, and I don't think it's very often, but there is the one where you just didn't see it.
Oh yeah, definitely.
Absolutely.
100%.
And that happens to good players.
It does, and it shouldn't.
I'm aware.
I was talking about Chris in particular.
Mr. Potato Head. Sometimes.
I've had Chris Potato against me, alright? Like,
I have died randomly. You're like, oh yeah, that's three arcane bolts in my face because I didn't block line of sight.
That's a backstrike Iris.
Oh yes.
that was a good one.
Well, that one actually, so it was something we were going to get into regarding tier lists. I was cocky because I'm like, I've got shield guards and this winter guard theme force, I'll be fine. And I'm like, I'm Haley, and also you haven't done your math regarding TK and Sackporn in a long time. So it turns out my 11 shield guards, or sorry, sack pawns I had around me was actually more realistically one.
And that guy took it in the face from a random gun.
A hunter shot him in the face. It was really
and
sad.
I shot you in the back.
I know.
If only all of your winter guard had sack pawn winter guard.
Ah, yes.
Wait, no. What would actually? Whoa, it's not optional. It would just end up bouncing around.
It is actually optional. What would happen is that all the shots would end up at the fun carriage, and now that the fun carriage has got 100 boxes, right? You won't kill the army.
Keep firing! Stop shooting at the gun damage! God damn it!
guys. Why is the gun carriage drawing literally all on fire? I told you specifically not to shoot it.
That's why you paint the giant target on the side.
Giant target and a magnet. Yeah. So just all bullets go...
I'm enjoying this four people talking once. Easy listening podcast.
Hey. That's how we integrate our community.
Yes.
To be fair, to Chris, you did win that game.
That's true, but that was...
One sack point, too many for my bad dice.
Yeah, but that's the thing. Like, you had me dead to rights, and to be fair, it was actually tricky to kill you in the following turn because I had no focus and had already feeded with Butcher. And then it was like, oh, wait, random knockdown. Ah, yes, I love it when that happens.
Win.
So, theme forces with rules that stop dying. So, for me, some of my theme forces do things like make me bring shield guards. And some of my theme forces now, it appears, the Bane's Banes theme force includes Clouds.
Shit's gotta go.
Possibly Prowl. And I think for Windergard, obviously, there's Sackporn.
Well, alright, I've been sitting on this shout-out for a while, but basically, I was on a recent cast of Murder of Crows. Shout-out to you guys, I missed it last week. But we were going through the theme forces, and as we were going through, it was just like, hang on a minute, literally all of these have a rule of not fucking dying.
Nah, it's not even close to that.
But Winterguard Command by far has the strongest.
Okay,
yes.
So neither of the Signal ones do. Unless you count...
I'm specifically talking Cador.
The Cador ones do. Yeah. Cador's getting, like, Cador Christmas for a while, so whatever.
Exactly, but that's the thing, is like, they either directly or indirectly help you, and as you say...
Trolls don't, Convergence don't.
Convergence 1% do. You get Sack Shield Guard on all of your Servitors.
Yeah,
and you can make Servitors with the TEP.
Okay, sure. Oh, they don't count.
Yes, they do.
They
100% get shield.
Oh no, the mother's ones don't. That's right.
Yeah.
Okay. Cool. So the convergence ones are the trolls don't. Signar doesn't unless you count being immune to your own faction.
I mean, actually, yes, ish.
Ish.
Grim can do.
Grim can.
They get armor on their beasts and they get on the battle engine.
Yep.
And the gremlins, yeah.
Yep. And the freaking gremlins. So.
Goddamn douchey gremlins.
It's an ish. Circle definitely don't.
Oh, Menoth do. They.
They get Reaper?
No, they get
girded.
Girded.
Right, so Menoth don't.
Sibby Saber.
Except, let's be honest, right, the Menoth tier you actually see has, like, is Amon and has, like, Templars and shit anyway. And
I'm going to skip over Rhett because we're going to come back to that because we're professionals. What else have we got? Legion doesn't?
I don't think any of the Circle ones give you anything at all. Tharn just gives you Tharn, which, I mean, I guess technically they're easier to kill.
Minions make your Gators harder to kill.
Mm.
That's true.
Does the other one?
But specifically...
No, the pig one just gives you lots of pigs. Like, lots of pigs.
I guess that's like...
Lots of pigs. I mean, sure, same as Tharn, right?
It's lots of Tharn.
Blocks
out of sight, yes.
I'm not going to go with the
Does the wald theme do anything?
It gives you walds.
I feel like that's not doing anything.
You are correct. There is a reason you are not seeing Bones of Orbros all over the tables, tearing it up.
I mean, you probably see them more now that with the Fulcrum CID.
All weird's better in the Fulcrum CID, so maybe.
I mean, I'm not going to go with a cop-out of, but you'll have more points to take, like, your shield guards and shit. But it is actually technically true. Like, you...
When everybody gets more points, no one gets more points.
Yeah, it's true.
Sort of. But assassinations at 35 points are easier than assassinations at 50 points.
I know, free Fey Knights and free Artillerist Captains are very different.
The more things you have on the table, the harder it is generally to land an assassination.
Oh yeah, we should mention that while all people get free points, some free points are more free than others.
Certainly true.
Some free points
are Scareth the Fey Knight.
Yes. And the Pain Knight and the Pain Knight guard dog.
Yes.
And it's like, oh my god.
So, just to keep going, do Crix have any death tech apart from Banes, Banes, Banes?
Shield Guards galore.
Alright, so that's good. Scorn gets a wall. Do we count that?
Yes. Well, Scorn is naturally difficult to assassination faction, but yeah,
they also
do.
See your cast, trust me, I would play Trolls. Having a wall that you get to place somewhere on the table is fucking awesome.
It is mint.
And Mercs don't, because Hammerstrike...
Mercs 1% of
Fane Death.
And you get Trenches, which are the most fair and balanced...
I was thinking of the Rulic one, but I did forget about Kingmaker.
Yeah. Even Hammerstrike, I think, has something. Yeah, whatever.
I mean, there's plenty there that seem to suggest it. And I think,
about half-ish.
Which, I mean, if you're going to talk that themes are meant to be the foundation of all lists from here on forward, that probably, even if it was 30%, that's still a huge hit to assassination.
Yeah, it's one of the reasons why Lorth is struggling, is because you've just got these random, like, oh, but I win.
Yeah.
It's like, oh, but you can't assassinate me. Especially when you can play any caster in almost any theme, so it's a case of, well, all right, how about we just give the most deserving caster of Sackborn, which is, of course, Butcher 3.
Yep, fuck and... off, Chris.
I mean, I played Into Lil 3 with Shade 2, and the only reason that game was playable was because I happened to have Brute Thralls, because they're in that theme, and they now have Shield Guard.
So baller, by the way.
So I was just like...
Nifty change. I really like that change.
Now they're in a trench next to me.
Yes. Incidentally, public service announcement. If you want an example of pro players making mistakes, Colin Hill has, until this point in time, not realized that Mechanithralls and Brute Thralls are Def 11. To yes. be fair, no one picked it up.
That
literally no one.
A judge and...
several judges.
Sorry. A judge on multiple occasions, yes. Two people casting a game, probably, let's call them 10 quote-unquote top players, just watching.
Yeah, easy.
That was the difference.
Plus a good, like, yep. half dozen direct games against people that
yeah.
were good players.
I remember not wiping,
a
Mechanithral unit
fluffy.
Because I missed by one.
Yeah, too fluffy.
Too fluffy.
Like, that's why Tom had to leave.
It was one of the saddest things when I read the CID and I was like, huh, they buffed them to 12. That's underwhelming.
The awkward sound will come.
Maybe
out.
They watched your stream and were like, oh, that's a good idea.
Maybe they were like, wait a second, this doesn't break the game at all. We can totally make them 12.
Yes, and now let's make them 8 points.
Yeah, no, yeah. That's not cool. That's
yeah.
not cool.
So, themes already give you... Some themes specifically give you outs against assassination, and almost all themes will give you enough free points.
Lots of dudes.
Lots of dudes.
Or lots of things.
And some don't do anything.
So, one of my questions which I wanted to talk about was... because they recently dropped out of CID just before we hit Steamroller, was how do you feel about Grimkin in light of the Steamroller packet?
Ugh.
And their themes as well.
Well, they're pretty... And I think a lot of cases you're taking a pretty mixed armed faction. Even when you take a lot of heavies, you're still taking Dreadrots just to fuel the thing.
But they feel pretty attrition-y built, right?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Like, they seem like a pretty attrition-y
built faction. They're really well designed.
I think we well covered how themes and Grimkin go together well.
Well, they were designed from the ground up.
Yeah,
yes.
and we covered that in the Grimkin cast, right?
Yep.
We said, look, it took them a little while, but they realized... I'm pretty sure after they had already written all of Mark III that they wanted themes to be the way to go for the future. And I don't actually have a problem with that. And now, having made that decision, having written Grimkin, you play Grimkin in theme. There's no reason to fucking not. And that's cool. That's cool.
Yep.
It's good and it works. And
so, there's one thing I'd like to bring attention to regarding Grimkin compared to other factions, and it's the fact that Grimkin's infantry themes, even their Jack theme, frankly, is very open with what you can take, whereas all the themes so far... I mean, we did the simple math of what it actually costs to play the Tharn theme, and we came
There's a very good reason for that, and that's because it's a limited faction, so how much fucking limits can you actually put on a limited faction?
So,
plus, they're only one theme because they're a limited faction. Well, you're talking about huge factions, which are...
Right?
Sure. There are two themes.
Yep.
One's beasts, one's infantry.
Yes.
But you can take a bit of both in each.
Yes.
So
there's overlap between them, right?
There's overlap because there's one theme in faction.
Right, you have a unit that you can take in both things.
Sure.
I don't have a single unit in circle that I can take in more than one thing.
Yeah.
No, okay. But we're
that I can think of, anyway. I'm sure Shifting Stones might be in...
No, then I'll...
Okay.
They might be in the Wolves thing.
Yeah.
Colin, I don't disagree. And I can understand your point, but I'm saying there's a reason for that. And that's because we're talking about huge factions that are designed to be like a culture. So you have different segments of those cultures. And so, of course, they have less overlap. Because they're like, this is Iron Fangs, and this is Wintergard. There's no Wintergard Iron Fangs.
You're trying to boil it down to a fluff reasoning, and it's not. It comes down to the fact that the game is big and unwieldy, and there are a dickload of models in every faction.
Right?
Signar is frigging huge. Kator is frigging huge. As a games designer, that would give me the absolute fucking hibbly-jibblies, right? I don't want to fucking deal with that bullshit when I'm trying to bring out new stuff. And so, you kind of go, alright, what we're going to do is we're going to break it down. We're going to have the trenches, and the storm dudes, and the fucking winter guard, and we're going to have the, you know, the
Cossack woodsman.
Banes. The Cossack woodsman. The Banes theme.
Just Yuri and the woodsman.
Yeah. And you're going to have all these fucking themes, and you're going
to...
You're going to... you're going to simplify shit. You're going to simplify shit for the players. You're going to simplify the shit for the people who are buying into it. You're going to simplify it for the new players and the old players. Old players, because they've got archetypes that they have to plan against in their tournaments. New players, they just kind of go, ooh, I really fucking like lightning dudes. I'm going to get just the lightning dudes. I don't need gun mages. I don't need all those dudes with funny hats. Right?
So,
yes,
one thing that's interesting on that is the removal of DNC. Because the removal of DNC means that you can come to a tournament with just one list.
You can.
Yeah.
Which is something that you couldn't do before. So previously you would have had to buy two things.
No, you could.
You could, but not in most of the tournaments.
Well, no, IG, you literally could. Yeah. IG was literally like, well, you have to play the lists you bring, and then you can use them to build lists.
Yes,
but that could be one list.
Sure, in the most recent
version. Sure, which has been around for a year.
DNC by default was play every single one of your lists once. Or
yes.
If you only brought one, play one.
Every tournament that was a major tournament was playing two lists. Or more, but two lists predominantly.
I don't know, we had a bunch here that you could just bring one if you wanted.
Yeah.
To a major tournament? CanCon. So CanCon ran single list?
It was DNC one, but you could bring single list because it was
really?
The core DNC. Yeah, because the core DNC rules are play every single army that you bring once. It's not play both your lists, it's not play three lists.
Certainly from the States, I was used to it always being two lists.
It's a misnomer.
Yeah, it actually annoys me. To be honest, I actually don't mind DNC. I like it too. But here's the catch, right? Is I also like I don't like it being abused. Like three lists, three round DNC is literally cancer as far as I'm concerned.
That's fucked.
Yeah,
I remember.
But that's the thing.
I remember going to IG and they're like, okay, bring three lists. Okay, brought three lists. You can play two games before we go into Gauntlet round. I'm like, what? So you bring three lists, but you're locked down to two, and then you can only build lists from those two lists because I couldn't play my third. Oh my god, my head hurts.
Yeah.
And you're just like,
that's where you go. Also, you have an illusory round one where everybody had a buy and everybody won. Congratulations, nominate which list you played.
Yeah, that's fine.
Yeah.
Let's move on from IG.
Pretty much.
But no, I'm just saying, like,
yeah.
it happens and it's weird.
I hear you.
So your general feel is that Grimkin, in the context of Steamroller 2017, pretty good?
Still fine. Yeah.
It doesn't make a difference to how you feel about them?
I haven't played them in 17.
We're not allowed to play them in 17.
No,
okay. Okay.
Somebody
Grimkin.
Stop me!
There you go.
Hard wood!
I honestly got a little triggered. Because... So, one of the first questions asked when they came out with the Steamroller CID is, like, can we play Grimkin in the CID? And they're like, no, you can't play Grimkin in the CID because the Grimkin aren't a complete faction because we're not done tweaking them. So we can't go testing the CID with a faction that won't be the faction it is now in the eventual final product. And I'm like, okay. But then you just had us test this entire faction in a scenario system that won't exist when the faction is released. So,
oh,
Brian, stop using your brain smarts and put those in the bin, alright?
So I'm just like...
Community integrated dumpster.
Everybody said that at the start of Grimkin, when at the start of Grimkin they announced the Steamroller thing was going to be happening after Grimkin. Yes, it's dumb. Move the fuck on.
No, I know, but it just every time it just kind of goes. Because all I wanted to do is keep playing Grimkin, and they're like, no, you can't play Grimkin. And I'm just like, but.
I'll do you a favor on Wednesday. You can play Grimkin.
No, that's fine.
No. I will do that.
But we're playing 2016.
Yes. Because we want our feedback to be current and balanced.
No, Colin, I'm a nice guy to Brian.
No, I understand that, but you can't give feedback to the CID.
No, you can't give feedback anymore at all on Grimkin.
No, I know. But you can't use a game you play with Grimkin in this 2017 CID either.
Awesome.
That's what I'm saying.
Wait, can you use the
Bones? That's what I'm saying.
Can I use Bones?
Yes, because that's currently in CID.
Cunning.
But because Grimkin is finished, you're not allowed to give in games with Grimkin as a member of the game.
What about if they're playing against
Bones? Yeah. No, because it's still Grimkin. That's my issue.
If anything, this Grimkin are actually like a cancer. They will ruin your Bones feedback.
It's just that the reason they won't let you play Grimkin in the new CID and not let you give results doesn't make sense when you apply the rules the other way.
I think you're forgetting the key thing about this, Brian, is that PP hates you and they hate fun.
Incorrect.
Specifically you.
Specifically your kind of fun.
They hate hardwood.
They hate
hardwood.
that's part of the reason that Trump's got that whole new thing on softwood lumber as well. Anyway. Baines and Baines.
We were saying something about infantry, and I was going to just brief up that in order to actually buy into an infantry theme costs a shit ton of dosh.
It does.
And most existing players, frankly, do not have like three units of Iron Fangs or House Guard Halberdiers or Baines.
I think a lot of people have two units of Iron Fangs.
Yes.
Yeah, that's fair. But not three units.
But then it's only purchasing a unit, not purchasing...
For an existing player, yes.
Okay,
here's this existing player. They've spent $1,500 over the course of the last 5 years playing the game, right? We've just changed over to this. You're now, not only do you own two of every single unit because you've been buying them steadily for the last 5 years, you now have to buy a third of most of those units just to make it work.
But that's not that's not unnatural. People already did that in Mark II with certain theme forces.
Yeah.
People were already buying 20 Doom Reavers. It was niche, but it wasn't that unheard of.
Sure. All right, PP is a company, and they're going to make a little bit of money out of old players.
I'm not concerned with the old player side.
Yeah, it's actually my problem is the new player side.
Okay.
Like,
I don't have a problem with that, because it's like, here, buy your fucking list. Here's one list that you can learn and play, and then when you think you're ready for turns, maybe then you can expand it. Because the best way to learn is to play one thing.
Let's take the easy example. Fun.
Sure.
Let's say I really like Tharn.
Sure.
That list has a very limited window of things it can play.
Sure.
You have to pair it with something. You've got to buy another list to pair
it. Colin. Play heavy metal, or ret heavy metal, or cock heavy metal.
Which you don't get access to.
But he's talking about Circle specifically.
I'm saying that in a lot of factions, it works really well. Maybe for Circle, it's a bit...
No, so it works really well if you want to play specifically the Jack theme. Because as we discussed before, the Jack theme works quite well.
Yeah.
If you want to play any of the infantry themes, that's where the money is.
That's the thing. I'd like to see more infantry themes be broader and not just in, like, Grimkin. Because I think Grimkin is incredibly well done with how its infantry theme works. I'd like to see a couple of infantry themes broaden out like that.
Yep.
So that at least if I take, like, if I'm going, I don't have to take, like, 50 infantry models, 30 of which are Winter Guard. 60 infantry models, 30 of which are Winter Guard, 30 of which are Pikemen. There is literally no overlap in the list.
But then we're breaking the entire point that while we're seeing themeless, and that you want to narrow the amount of things that you want to have to balance. So you put them into niches. So you have the Iron Fangs, you have the Winter Guard. If you start going, here's half Winter Guard, half Iron Fang, then you're breaking the whole point of trying to balance
that
in themeless.
You can hang of that thing different rules. Like, one of the reasons the Winter Guard theme is busted is because of its special rules. And one of the things the Iron Fang theme works is because of the fact you get countercharge and all the solos suddenly synergize with each other.
Gravediggers, non-existing gravediggers, but quite easily be like, yes, you're allowed infinite numbers of trenches and one unit of gun mages. You can have one arcane tempest, something or other.
You may have one unit that is not on this list.
Yes.
Something, right? Or, you know,
you can have one.
Sure, so make it that broad, because you've got, again, the problem of Signar as a faction has the most of any.
All right, cool, I guess.
It has the most
units.
Signar and Cato have the most.
So if
it
just says in brackets, Storm Lancers.
it might as fucking well, but, and so you don't want to do that. But having you know, like, just both fluff and... Guns just suck, but whatever, right? So, like, you'd be like, yeah, you're allowed to take some pistoliers, or you're allowed to take some blazers.
Yeah.
In addition, one of the prospects we'd like to see is that we'd also like to see just random character jacks from various casters who sort of fit that theme, or even don't have to, frankly, just be included. Because
Colin rant on this. This was his little baby.
That's fair. Colin?
I've already ranted on it on the CID forums as well, but... No, I think it is a really big opportunity to spread the character warjacks and character beasts across the themes. Make certain that, like, there's two or three in every single theme, so that even if they're the little used ones that aren't really that great, that don't turn up. Yeah, like, just stuff that...
It doesn't even have
some variety, and it won't screw with your balance, and it gives you some options to still have people play their character warjacks and character beasts, because some of those things are really cool, and... I would be particularly upset to see them gone to the point where the only way you could bring them is if you're playing their specific caster, and that's it.
Yeah, in addition, like, you've got jacks like, basically, Brickhouse, or Harambe. Oh, sorry, Harambe is the term we've given to Hemera. These jacks are underwhelming.
I'm sad every time he dies.
Yeah, good old Harambe. Actually, yeah, we're going to have a funeral for Hemera every time he dies, so hopefully he doesn't get played. But look... Hemera is a new release, and to be honest, I hated it when I first looked at it. I've called on it. I actually don't mind it. I think it'd have some play, but it will literally never see table time unless it's with Assyria.
Yep.
And it's kind of questionable with Assyria from basically talking with rep players and general looks, because it's pretty much the opposite of what Assyria wants in a Jack. She doesn't really want a support piece. She needs something to carry the game.
She needs something to do work because she can't.
And then Brickhouse is kind of just like, he's a really cool guy, but you're not going to break theme to take him.
Yes. And so, that's the big thing. Loki is the one that upset me the most.
Loki, yeah. Because
he's such a cool thing. He's such a cool aspect to add to the faction.
Yeah.
And like, then 2 days later, you're like, oh, actually, we can't ever play him except if you're playing Tanith. Sorry.
And here's the catch, right? Is like, would Loki be that busted if you took it in like the wolf theme? What was
Loki's
wolf
song? Busted, Loki's broken, maybe like, oh, it's close.
Sure.
Oh, and I mean, there are models that have people playing out of theme for them, though. I mean, like, Eye of Truth is like the magic special snowflake, but people literally like, I don't want to play theme, I want to play Eye of Truth.
So you just got to be a bit careful about which one's going which.
Exactly.
Theme, right?
Like, you can give Eye of Truth to, say, the Flame Guard theme, which is the weakest of the Menoth themes. We don't even know what the example
or
theme.
Just don't
is
put it in a theme.
Is
exactly.
That a flop problem or Eye of Truth being busted?
No, that's definitely an Eye of Truth being busted problem, but I'm just saying.
Yeah.
See you guys.
Yeah.
But you can basically go like, okay, look, these are the characters. Some of the characters are designed to basically be worth breaking theme for. Eye of Truth is.
I don't think they're designed
Loki
for that
is,
at all.
I no,
think
I don't think that's
far
true.
Too much credit, because otherwise, you can paint them with the Bond. So then you're saying like they're designed to be good enough that you can bust theme. Also, they get a bonus when they're with this one guy. But you can take that guy in the theme and have the Jack and be all good.
Yeah, they accidentally make busted things sometimes.
Fine.
Welcome to a complicated game.
Yeah, no, I think
I don't know. Like R-Truth specifically to me, because he's paired with Marcus, who's like a blockcaster. So you are breaking theme almost always.
Together, by the way, pretty strong.
Yeah,
if you've not played against it.
All right, fair enough.
No, I just feel like it would be a very easy way for them to roll in some of those sorts of jacks that don't see a huge amount of play.
I think that makes complete sense.
Yeah.
They did it with Thunderhead.
Yeah.
They did it with
Death Jack. He's in Infernal Machines.
And you don't have to do them all right away. I mean, just wait. They have themes coming out through the pipes, and maybe they'll slowly get filtered more in, because we saw Behemoth come out in one. We saw Death Jack come out in one. We've seen Getarix come out in one.
Yeah, but the flip side of that is that
only Getarix is the only one.
Getarix is really specifically Thon.
Yes.
Yeah.
Because
Behemoth
doesn't have a character.
No.
Thunderhead doesn't have a character.
None of the bonded
Death Jack doesn't have a
Getarix.
Yes.
And I can agree with that. And I mean, and I agree with Colin's entire sentiment, but I do think there are theme forces coming out that will probably maybe...
Sure.
Like, because the Troll Blood one, the next one is Northkin, and I'm pretty fucking certain Rock's going to be in it, because he's like
would
a beer-drinking
be
Northkin.
He was also available in one of the other things.
No, but I mean, you can easily make a fluff reasoning that you go, this guy fits here.
Given like, as far as I can tell, there's like two paragraphs worth of fluff behind each of these themes. That's basically all of the fluff I can find.
Mold should 1,000% be in the Doonian one.
Yeah, that makes sense.
Mold is like
Megalith should be in the Bones of Orbrus.
Megalith was
like,
the example.
What the fuck?
Megalith was literally the example I was going for with the Bones. It's like, why the fuck is he not in? It doesn't matter that Bradagus couldn't take him in theme. That was back in Mark 2.
Yeah.
But he is allowed in the Tharn one with Balder.
With Balder.
Where then he stuffs the space full of carcasses.
Which, let's be honest, right? That's A, awesome, and B, should be encouraged.
And C, totally in theme, because if we don't remember how worlds are made, it's by fucking cutting open a bunch of people over a robot.
Yeah, exactly.
Yes.
And it goes back the other way. You can have Getarix in Bones of Orbrus.
It's true.
You're in Cro-Mac.
Yeah.
But that feels a little less weird.
Does it though?
Yeah. The idea of just him taking a body going and rubbing it on his face.
It's just absorbing life energy.
Just think of it as deodorant.
Right in through the joint.
It's deodorant, right? He literally just cracks a dude open, just sprays it on, and just like, nice reflection.
I think Ryan forgets how evil worlds are.
Yeah.
I never
are friggin' evil, man.
I don't disagree. It just, all I can picture is this is Megalith picking up this human body,
and then
rubbing it
in
his face.
I have no mouth!
In my mind, he looks at the other ones that are doing it, and he's like, how do I just...
And he just pulls it away, and his face is just covered in blood, and he's like, did I do it right?
And Baldur's just looking at him like, What the fuck?
Did I do good, boss?
Like, well, I actually sing the opposite way. Baldur's like, eat it, eat it, eat it.
In that storm,
we're gonna have some loud stack.
I've been experiencing technical difficulties. Welcome back to this podcast, which is a community integrated podcast called Banes, Banes, Banes.
Banes, Banes, Banes.
So,
community.
We are in the CID process right now for Banes, which means by the time you hear this, they'll have already changed probably two or three times.
At present, the Theme Force does a whole bunch of fancy things. Basically, it gives them all prowl, and it also grants you two clouds within 20 inches of your edge of the table. And I personally think that is a super strong Theme Force ability. I've also commented on that on the forums. But I think if it stays like that, that will make it a very, very playable force. My actual number one concern is that because of the way this is being done, so we're testing Banes in CID, and we are also testing a Bane Theme Force in CID, and the statement from Privateer has been that they wish us to test the two together. And that really means that the rules that are in the Theme Force are effectively being tested as if they are on the models. So it kind of feels like you're really testing all of the Banes with prowl, which isn't true, but if the future is all Theme Forces, then I guess it is kind of true. You're never going to see Banes outside.
They've said quite clearly that you're not going to play outside of theme, and if you can't take Banes outside of the Banes theme, then it's fucking irrelevant.
Yep. Okay, yeah. Fair enough. So then my question would be, why put it on the Theme Force? Why not put it on the model?
Mm.
I mean, you can't put the clouds on the model, right? Because that'd be pretty good.
Well, you mean, why not just put prowl on the model?
Yeah, why not just give all of them
because prowl? They want you to play it in tier, not outside of theme.
Right, because you're never going to break theme for them anyway, right? Like, I'm going to be paying 15, 17 points down just to have
and
one if bane.
Put that in, put that on your CID result, and maybe that's what will happen.
Well, the problem is, I would feel...
But they want
it, I'd feel better about it if it weren't for the fact that Banes are Dark Shroud in Crix for the most part. Now, to be fair, they've been fixing that because the Wraith Engine provides Dark Shroud.
And the ILO.
And the ILO. And both of them are actually quite good at it, frankly. Especially the Wraith Engine changes that have been proposed and have been put into practice. But still, like...
But here's the thing. Steamroller says, yes, you can play with themes. It doesn't... The core rules to the game do not currently say you must play with themes. So right now, those models are costed at a certain cost, and that cost is not relevant if they don't have prowl.
Actually,
the cost is wrong if they do not have prowl.
To be perfectly honest, that's what I found with most infantry units. With a few exceptions, almost all of them have been costed with random theme benefits. Einfangs are like that.
You reckon?
Oh, yes.
Okay.
Why don't they just fucking stop pretending and just write it in the core book? Pick a theme when you write a list.
Yeah, they could.
They could.
Maybe they just haven't got around to that point yet, and they wanted to let people slowly get themselves there.
Well, they're still pretending that you're allowed to take mercs and minions, right?
Yeah, it's true. You totally can.
I have so many.
I could break themes in order to have...
I can break themes to...
And what's more, I have played out a theme because the theme isn't out yet, and Scar plays Rhino. With Brakeman.
Yeah. Halo 3's theme isn't ready because you need to trenches and they're not out yet. So yeah, I get to still play with Gorman and Ragman. Those are models that I have in my case.
I miss Reinhold.
I miss Reinhold.
That guy doesn't have stealth.
I can spray twice with Karchev.
Yes.
There's a couple that are kind of just like, yeah.
So at present, my feeling, the Banes are looking pretty good. The Bane Riders have become genuinely, I think they're at the right spot. I'm not even certain that they need prowl at all to be justifying their points.
Can we rename the Bane Warders? Correct, they're Bane Warders.
I feel like they're faster than Warders, so it's kind of not fair.
Yeah, but they're also...
Like they're a lot faster.
Yeah, but they're also...
So that's why they're Bane Warders, because Banes have always been the fastest infantry, despite being speed 5.
Yep, correct.
Except for the brief last 8 months.
Yeah, it doesn't matter.
Yeah.
When have you seen a Bane on the table in the last 8 months?
Yeah, maybe they were still fast. We just didn't see them.
No, they're too fast.
Too fast, you furious.
Yes. This is the fate of the furious. This is what's happened to the Banes.
So the Riders just finally just slowed them down for long enough.
Slow down.
So the Riders are good. The Warriors are now... Okay, all they got was a straight point decrease, and that was fine. But combined with prowl and clouds, it will be enough to make them playable in the theme. I suspect you'll see 30 of them.
I remember those lists. They were fun to play against.
Well, that was the old Bane Knights, right? And they don't have Vengeance anymore. So now you won't see 30 of them.
Now you won't.
In fact, they have a massive problem right now.
Yeah, you won't see Bane Knights.
Well, I think you might see one unit and two units of Thralls.
So one of the funny things I found with this theme was it's really semi-hard to fit in the 3 points, so you kind of have to take Bane Thralls.
Yes.
Bane Warriors. Bane Fighters. Bane Fighter.
Bane Fighters.
Now they but the reason why is because you get a free solo. Incidentally, the free solo is specifically designed... This is one of the free solos I don't mind. It's designed to have Tartarus as the free solo, which makes sense. But also, that's kind of why he's costed the way he is.
I don't know. It's still not a thing.
They dropped his cost. He's now 6 points.
Oh, okay. He's no longer like 8 or something,
yeah,
right?
Correct.
Oh, jeez.
Okay. So basically, you take the Bane Thrall UA or Bane Warrior UA, and you take Bane Fighter UA. They're your free things,
yep.
because there's nothing else available that's free and good. Yes. It's another case where if you could just broaden it a little bit, even though you've got to stretch your fluff reasons, it would be nice to have some other things in there that people could play with.
You could take a Scarlock Thrall, I guess.
Yes, you can.
Okay, let us be which frank. You won't take.
The fluff for Banes is loosey-goosey as it stands.
Yeah. Yeah, it's pretty loosey.
And the fucking fluff for Thralls is loosey-goosey
and
as it stands.
I think
stands.
For Crits, the fact that you can take any caster, which is common to all of them, but the fact that you can would be enough justification on its own to go, you can take Lich units. So Wither Shadow can come in wherever the fuck you want. ILO can come in wherever the fuck you want.
Every time you say ILO, I'm just thinking of a fucking some kind of weird light orchestra.
Yeah, I mean, that's why he's disco.
Oh, Ireland's Overseer.
Yes.
It takes so long. It's like, wait,
correct.
What?
The yes. Overseer of all Iron Liches.
It's a model we can now
which means Gatsby reports to him.
It's the Iron Light Orchestra.
Yes.
Yep. He's like the Cruel Taskmaster.
Well, I mean, most Crick's things feel less...
I think they need more cellos.
I mean, Crix... Okay, Crix as a concert aside. Crix actually is probably an indicative of how they sort of design their infantry units. Namely, you're meant to take them in theme. They are costed as if they're in theme. It's one of the reasons why Crix has gone from, like, wow, they're like shit Grimkin, to, wow, they're actually quite playable.
Yeah, but see, with
that
Crix...
And they buffed all of the things.
Crix previously, right, what you... I mean, apart from the fact that...
Like, yes. Like, when you say they were costed, right? They've dropped the cost on the Revenant crew twice. They've dropped the cost on all of the Banes. They've dropped the cost on the Mechanic Thralls. They added Shield Guard to Brew Thralls.
Yep.
Like, all of the things that are now playable have changed since the start of my
career. So let's rewind a fair amount of time and go back and look at Mark II Crix and say, okay, what were the three types of infantry, the three formats of infantry you saw?
Fast ones, recurrent ones, and hit hearts ones.
Not what I meant, but yes. One format was...
Mechanithrolls and models that became Mechanithrolls.
So one format you saw was like all speed all the time.
Yes.
The other format you saw was, all right, I'm going to take infinity of the same thing and just pump it to 11, aka 30 Banes.
Sure.
And then the other one, which is kind of what you wanted to see, is a nice blend, which is where you'd have them covering each other's weaknesses.
Yep.
You'd have the Satixus going in hard.
And then becoming Mechanithrolls.
Becoming Mechanithrolls with maybe some Banes on the side.
Sure.
Right? And that's impossible to do now.
Under a Theme Force?
Because of the Theme Forces, unless you dramatically mix up the roles of the individual
units,
right? So it's doable with Banes because you've kind of got three.
Yeah, sure.
Because you've got the Cav, and you've got the Knights, and you've got the Warrior Thralls.
Yep.
So you can kind of mix them up. I mean, you could fucking... By the way, Bane Knights, the models, have shields.
Yes.
Okay, so we could turn them into a shield ball unit.
Yeah.
Well, so what they've done at the moment is given them...
Defensive line.
Yeah, so
yeah.
Plus 2 armor when they're base to base.
Yeah, right? So you can really...
Fine, but they're still speed 5.
Yeah.
They're also feel worse than...
So change all of that up.
Yes.
Because the speed of these weird ghostly fucking infantry models is totally arbitrary.
Yes. I agree.
Right? It's not like
You've made them ghostly already. Why are they drifting slowly?
You don't have to commit to this
whole...
Why are the machine rates really fast?
Union regulation.
Yeah. So
then,
union regulations. There's no
sorry,
union regulations.
Okay, now I'll limit in this area.
You know, there's no union regulations that humans are all speed 6 except when they're 5 unless your name's Kane. Right?
Yes. Yeah.
Some humans
or
just
unless
have
you're Denegra or Haley.
Yeah. Look,
because then it changes depending on which one you are. Because if you're Haley, you're only 6, but if you're Denegra,
well,
you're 7.
The default 6, right? And then Denegra because she's a fucking not undead lady is 7. Right?
Because she got adopted by
some
Satixus and
some people just
something on her
speed,
feet.
Energy legs.
Slow down.
So you can really fuck with what they're doing with them, and that's good for Banes and bad for the ones who are more limited.
Yep.
Okay, so if we look at what we've seen so far, we have the Scrap, the Thrall one,
yep.
Which you'll have to tell me about later. But the next one that we're supposed to see is the Shard Islands.
Okay.
That's the
two
books. Oh,
we're going to see Satixus next, aren't we?
No, well,
that's
well,
that is the Shard Islands.
Yeah. So Shard Islands is Living Pirates, which you have some of?
No, not yet.
Well, yes.
Yes, in Mercs.
But that would be... No, we have a non-Merc, but it would be one hell of a weird...
Okay,
thing
so you have Black Ogre.
Black Ogre.
You have
yeah,
Blighted Trolls.
I know.
Be a weird thing to just have them.
No. But
it's from the Shard Islands.
They're all
Black
from the Shard Islands.
And the Satixus. That makes perfect sense.
And the Satixus.
Oh, sure.
And they all do different things. So
yeah.
There you go. They all kind
yeah,
of do what the thing you're looking for.
You
so the Thrall one probably needs some work, but that theme's fine
the
kind of anyway.
Good.
Yeah.
The so, because you have different pirate, you have the ghostly pirates versus the recurring Mechanithralls versus
no.
the... No, that's a different thing.
The Pirates is the problem. The Pirate one is very limited. The
yeah.
Thrall one is very good. It's got
It's
got all sorts of shit. It's got Warwitch Sirens and all sorts of stuff in it.
Yeah. So
the Pirate one's as dumb as the...
The Pirate one is super, super limited.
The Arcane Tempest fucking...
It's here are two units you can choose from. Also, yeah. Artillery Crew.
The Arcane Drizzle thing.
So, I mean, so it looks like the themes already kind of are fitting into the method that you think is the most effective way, except for the Pirate one. And depending how the Bane one goes.
I hadn't considered that Black Ogryn might end up in...
Are you talking generally or just crits?
I'm not actually sure.
We're talking about crits.
In that thing,
because you were saying you need a little bit of both. For all the different uses and get involved, play different roles. And outside the Pirate one, and hopefully the Bane one, once it gets more CID'd, we'll do that.
Yeah, well, this probably brings us to one of the themes I'd like to bring up really quick, which is ret themes.
And fuck ret, I'm out!
And that
elves suck.
And that is our successful Colin.
Colin
instant DQ.
The Colin Exodus is here.
Yep. All right. So basically, a bunch of ret stuff got released. I put it this way: I thought the Nis were coming to take people's jobs, and it turns out no. There was a wall that got built, and the Nis just aren't allowed.
We're keenly awaiting the fucking Nis or theme list, right?
Correct.
Is that where we're at? Because all the Nis stuff sucks.
Yeah, and it's like, this is an example of stuff I said that, like, you can't afford this. Here's an easy example. Try trading a unit of those stupid, like, Nis Defender guys into any amount of Warjacks. You're just like, this isn't gonna work.
The Reservoir idiots are shit.
Yeah, and it's just like, you have to take the dickhead. Okay, you actually probably don't even have to, because it doesn't do much, and...
Yeah. It gives them hard, which I appreciate some hard wood, but
yeah, like that guy is just like 1%. You can't afford this guy unless you get him for free. It's just not happening. Yeah. But the Retribution have two themes. One of which is the first of it type, which before Colin raged out, it was the similar to Ghost Pirates. It's the Mage Hunter theme. And then the second one is the one that everyone is shitting their pants over, which is the House Guard theme, because literally 50 halberdiers are coming to kill you and your entire family.
Let's not forget heavy metal, right? Like, they also Forges of War, right? Like,
yes.
They also have that still.
Yeah.
Which is pretty strong. It's not just about the new ones, it's about how all three of them reflect a faction, right?
Yes.
The faction's health, the faction's strength. And the faction's diversity.
And they're all actually three archetypes of themes. One of which is a very narrow infantry theme. The other is a very wide infantry theme. And the third is the Jack theme. And we've already said...
The Ret have got two more that I don't want to say need to have, but I would put money on them having.
Yes.
One being Nissors, and the other one being Dawnguard. Right? That seems blindingly obvious to me.
Yeah, that's interesting.
I had hope that instead of either of the House Guard or the Mage Hunter one, they would have got the Nissor one just to kick it all off as a big thing.
House Guard seemed like easy, the one that we were going to see.
Yeah, I know, but a week ago, I had hoped we'd get the Nis one, so that in the same way that what Colin was saying about Banes, where it's all inextricable, and my argument was, who cares? Well, now I care that they're inextricable because we don't have access to the Nissor one yet.
You're not wrong. I thought we were going to see the Nis theme.
I'm never
going to
fucking buy the Nis, the new Nis, which is bad for PP, by the way, until I get a Nis theme. So they've done all these sick new releases. They're cool models. They got half decent rules. But because they're half finished, I'm not buying them.
Yep.
That's bad.
I actually
thought we would have seen like a Mage Hunter book rather than this tier list here.
Why?
I don't know, it just feels like something that would actually develop and expand more.
I get the feeling the book is actually going to be the Nis book now. And that would make
more
sense.
But do they need more models? They just got models that they're not going to use already.
They just fuck the books. I don't care about how they release the rules.
Sure.
Just release the friggin' rules. Like, you can't be unleashing these models half-cocked into the wild.
Well,
And pretending that you're not and saying, here's these models, playtest them, but it's not CID. It's just you playtest them in the real world. And then we're going to see how they perform. And then 3 to 12 months down the track, we're going to give you the theme lists to make them functional. That's fucking not okay.
But the Nis aren't going to get playtested because the only place you see them is in tournaments, and they won't be in tournaments because they're not finished.
I know. That's kind of... I know. Flawed for 16 different reasons. Yes. It's not good. It's bad.
In addition, let me raise just some real quick point with regards to how Theme Force legality works. Namely, it's not actually legal until the book comes out, so we have these themes in War Room. I can make a Gorshade 4 theme in Mage Hunters and is 100% illegal until an arbitrary date where the red book comes out, at which point, oh, I guess it's legal
okay.
now.
Okay, whoa, whoa,
is
whoa.
Is it like 2 weeks from now?
No, it's next month. No way.
It's next month.
It's next month. Now,
it's May. And stop.
Yes.
What? Who fucking cares?
Spoilers are sick. Everyone likes spoilers.
And it's the same thing that's been happening with fucking, like, casters and model releases since the beginning of time.
Yeah, I get to touch my nipples with new rules before the
new
rules.
You just get to playtest them. I don't... That argument is...
Nah. Well, it's more like, I'd rather, if they're going to release the Theme Forces, make them legal when they're
No. Just, it's the same fucking...
New rules, nipple touching.
Exactly.
Yeah, fair enough.
It's just the same thing as we get to see in Proxy, like, the fucking models when
PTR
we see...
PTR for Heroes of the Storm.
That's actually a good way to put it. Yeah, it's, fair enough.
Right?
I've heard it's, that, it's I've heard that argument... I've heard that argument before. It's just...
It's cool. Yeah. It's like, alright, yeah. Here's the final... Absolute end of fucking cycle beta testing. Here you go.
I guess the difference.
And they've done that. Remember when the fucking Hail Hydra?
Right? Yeah. The difference is
24 hours.
This is in War Room versus this is on some PDF.
That's better, not worse.
Yeah, it's like
that means everybody has access to it trivially. You don't have to be hunting down on the forum with all that fucking bullshit.
Yeah, I know.
Anybody can have it, and it updates. Dynamically. That's a good thing.
I know it's a good thing. It's also like, I'd rather just bite the bullet and say, if it's in War Room, it's legal. As long as you have the models for it.
Then you could say, I can play Gorshade 4.
As long as you have the models for it.
That's dumb then.
No, it isn't. You have the rules here. The rules are on their official fucking app.
Yes, but the...
Chris, you know why it's not going to fucking happen? Because they want people to buy their shit.
Buy all our playsets and toys.
It's a company. What do you want them to do?
I don't fucking have a problem with this. This is minor gripes.
Yeah, it is minor gripes. But anyway.
I just heard it before and it's just...
Yeah. Okay, so moving the fuck on. Ret tier lists. Good for the things they're good for. Bad for the NIS. How do we feel about the NIS in general?
They're pretty.
They're unfinished.
They are half-cocked.
Beautiful
models.
Half finished. I look at them and go, why would I take that over Halbs or any other models?
But they did get some pretty juicy toys. Harambe was not one of them, but the fucking Fane Dog.
Yeah. Fane Dog's good.
Fane Dog is awesome.
Makes real dog look real dumb.
And the Sluts of Syra.
Yes.
Yeah. And Gorshade 4 is not bad.
Yeah. Actually, here's the thing. You have played against
him. I have played an entire one game against him, and he felt like... he felt like a beehive. He has lots and lots and lots of bees on his card.
Bee spells. Bee plus abilities.
Sounds like Borka 3. Or Borka 2?
Yeah, Borka 2. Yeah.
But where it's like, we have cool ice themes that do stuff, and you're just like,
Borka's a different thing. Borka has no fury, Borka has a shit spell list, and Borka has a strong feed.
Borka is the opposite.
So it's shit strong, right? Whereas this guy's like, alright, I got a whole bunch of bee spells, I got a bee feed, and yeah. And I mean, like, having Arcane Vortex as a Field Marshal, that's pretty sick, right? Like, that's pretty cool.
No, that's a cool Field Marshal.
That's pretty cool. It makes all your dudes fucking spell
it. It's another...
You know what also basically does that? The rule that... What's-her-face used to have? Oh, still has Kalesa.
Isseria?
No, Kalesa.
Oh, yeah, sure.
If you fucking...
Witch Hound.
Yeah, so she lost Witch Hound, I think.
Yeah,
I can't actually remember. But Witch Hound did a functionally similar thing, you know, not being able to cast the spell and really, really not wanting to cast the spell. It's about the same. Revive is one of the most overcosted spells in the game. Backlash is what I call a sometimes food. When it comes up in a big way, but it almost never does. Can you bring the card up so I can stop rattling off the top of my head?
Frost.
We got Ghost Walk. So Pathfinder and a Stick is actually pretty relevant for Rhett.
Yeah. No, that's something they've always kind of wanted.
That's a real reason to play him and to play him with something like the Halberd theme. Because it gives you access to Pathfinder all day, every day.
It's also, Ghostwalk is incredibly good in SR 2017, where there's always...
Something to do. Something to contest.
Well, it's also, there's always usually a forest in the middle of the table, and you can just fucking move
Chiller. Chiller's a decent spell. It's a map buff.
I like it.
I never hate map buffs.
No.
It's Hex Blast.
I fucking like that spell, because it's, you know, it's the 2017 World's Purification, right? It's a little bit more expensive. You'd rather repudiate, sure.
But at least you can kill something, too, if you need to.
Yeah, you can kill one. And Mage Shite's nifty, right? So you've got all these kind of, like,
He's a toolboxy caster.
You're like, cool, I got all this stuff. None of it's bad, right? I mean, nothing about him is bad. He's got a decent stat line.
But
he's immune to spells. Like, he's got a good fucking beat stick.
But he's got a great beat stick.
You know, it's power 15 fucking auto stationary, right? And then you come to the feet and you're kind of like,
the feet seems balanced around.
He's good, but he's not great.
And he's a beehive.
Yeah.
Covered in bees.
Yep.
That's fair. That's not bad, though. I mean, Rhett feels like that sometimes with their casters.
Okay. I don't agree with that.
I mean, there, I think Thyron's a bit of a bee.
Sure. Nah, Thyron's...
And how many times have you seen that kind of a fucking
toy? No, but I mean, I'm starting to hear people talk about him.
Yeah, sure, because the halberd theme helps him.
Yeah, but that's all it needs sometimes. Maybe in the right theme he's going to stand out.
You want
to
know why?
Because he's a bee,
Because he's got fucking Pathfinder.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's actually it. You're like, all right, we're going to take all these cunts. What supports these cunts? Well, we got this fucking clusterfuck of terrain these days. All right, good. Clusterfuck terrain's probably better for the game.
That's why you see what Maddox.
Yeah. You're like, why do you take Maddox over, say, Striker
3? No, I'm aware. It's Pathfinder.
Right? It's fucking Pathfinder.
Yep.
If all you wanted was, you know, fist to face, you take Striker 3 every time, and nobody does.
Yes, because terrain is a thing.
Terrain's a thing. We don't play on car parks.
In addition, let's be honest, right? Infantry require more help with Pathfinder compared to Warjacks, not less. Because they spread out and they go in all weird places.
I can work around terrain with, you know, Haley 2 fucking heavy metal because you fucking put your jack behind a wall and then you TK it out and you charge something. You're even like, skill, right? There's nothing to it. You can't TK 10 fucking models.
No.
It gets better, because if there is an asshole piece of terrain, you just park your Colossal on it, and then the Colossal effectively eats
the terrain. Is the terrain.
Yeah, it eats the terrain piece up. It's just like, you ruin the Colossal, and you're like, oh yeah, that was a forest here. Oh shit, I better not.
I don't know, Gorshade felt, I don't want to say phoned in, but just a little bit kind of uninspired.
I don't think
Which is weird, because he should be like the coolest guy to ever come out of it.
I was really G'd for him.
Yeah, me too. Yeah. Who doesn't like a cool guy with ice powers?
Coming back
from the dead, hangs around with a skull in his hand like Yorick.
Yeah,
no, it's not Yorick, is it? I don't know.
Whatever, he's just like, are we the baddies as he holds a skull?
No, he's definitely the baddies.
Well, he got resurrected
by the good guy God, he's got fucking resurrection powers,
he's literally a different god. Yeah.
He has the power of one god and the sword of the other. That's pretty good. Well, no, he's got
powers of both gods.
Yes, he does.
Literally what I just
said. Yes, he does.
Well, he has a sword and you said he had shared the powers, but yeah, sorry. Semantics.
To me, he lacks a thing unifying him, and I also think that, to me, right, if Gorshade was allowed in the stupid jack tier, then it'd be a case of, oh, okay, cool.
Infinite shield works.
Which is why he's not infinite
because
spell.
Is he Vire on the card?
Yeah. Oh, absolutely. Okay. Which is incidentally...
Well, I wasn't sure if they would let him back in the club, to be fair.
I don't know, he was born there. I think he's like a Jew. You can't get out.
Which is funny, because he is literally Elf Hitler.
He's not wrong.
Oh dear.
And moving on very quickly, you'll see Gorshade and you'll see a couple of these other casters who've sort of relegated, including Alara, incidentally, due to the Halb thing.
Mm-hmm.
And all of them, Gorshade, Thyron, and Alara, all provide Pathfinder. Now, this Halb thing bears mention because it did get tested and people are losing their shit over it. Yes, you're going to die because 50 Halberds are going to do it. Like, going to crash into your alliance on top of two. Except that's not actually what happens, because the halberds come in and they kill a bunch of stuff and then they just get wiped.
Yeah.
Because they're halberds.
Can you kill 13, 14 halberds? Because if you can't, go back to potato land.
Correct. But that kind of theme will encourage more sort of things. Like, that halberd theme realistically is going to start off a lot of people just going to go hard skew immediately. And then it's probably going to morph into some kind of interesting multi-purpose thing where you threaten to do that, and maybe you even do that as part of another grander plan.
Dylan today, he played
Mage Hunters, didn't
he? We had two games.
Okay.
Played double halberds, couple of jacks. He had, what else was in the halberd list? What are you allowed to? Oh, and a whole bunch of shooting. Right, because it actually gives you a dickload of shooting. Because you're allowed to take all these Stormfalls and Stormfalls and Repo.
Yes.
You can take the Riflemen too, can't you? Yeah.
Yep.
Not that I'm a huge fan of the Rifle teams, but you can take them. You had one of those. You know, between the Retjacks being Retjacks and all of that. There's actually this, like,
More shooting than you think in the Halberd theme?
Yeah, it's like 40 or 50 points, right?
Because it's not the Halberd theme.
No, right? It's not. So you've got 40 or 50 points of shooting coming over the top of this, you know,
Halberd
wall of dickheads. And you're like, well, actually, that's the House Guard theme playing like House Guard are supposed to, which is together, right?
Yes.
That's good. That's cool.
Yeah, no, that's great.
I mean, it's kind of like the pikeman theme, except that in addition to your jack shooting, your guys can shoot, and you can take guys who aren't pikemen.
You can take riflemen, right?
Yep.
Normal, stock standard, those guys are still good.
You can also take...
You're probably not so likely to take them with, say, the Gorshades of the world, but, you know, with somebody like Ossian, yeah, definitely.
Yeah. You can have a quicken.
You give them rerolls, you give them quicken, you give them fucking boosted damage and shit, like...
Yeah.
It's pretty decent.
You also can take the... I'm just going to briefly mention, you can take that new swordsman who now have a UA as well. The Elowir swordsman.
Oh, yeah.
I'm just going to say, those guys are literally, basically, the elves from Lord of the Rings at the very start of the movie. The first movie, Fellowship, who, as soon as the orcs come in, they just start swinging their swords and then people die.
Elowir or the Risovar? The Nyss or the...
No, you can take the Elowir. That's how they fit them in.
Yeah.
They just put them in a house guard.
They just randomly show up and they're allowed
They're a random house.
It's not random. It's because the Elowir swordsmen are the house guard.
Of the Elowir.
Oh, right. Yeah, that actually makes sense.
They're just all giants in armor.
Yeah. They're just all guys with... Anyway, to be...
There are different elves, you fucking racists.
That's true.
Yeah, it's true. And apparently none of your elves go and work out or are beefed up. The only elves that do...
They got a UA too.
Yeah, the UA basically gives them defensive strike, which I actually quite like.
And practice maneuvers, which means they can move through each other.
Which I don't like as much. The funny thing is, the UA also...
Serpent's Coils once per game, which is dopey.
Yeah,
but whatever. You're going to get engaged once per game. What I also like is the standard, despite not having a sword, has a sword.
Huh. Wonder if typo.
No, I don't think so, considering they also printed the same rules on the next page. But we'll see. We haven't actually seen those models. And as far as...
I guess, could it be weird if he didn't have Blade Shield? I don't fucking know.
Yeah, sure, actually. Anyway, to be honest, the House Guard theme will require a bit of mashing up, I think, to find the optimal combination.
Sure,
but that's not bad. Yeah, and also, taking the Pain Knight for free is possibly a bit gratuitous.
So, point of order, the tier list now has two Shield Guards all day, which is really good.
Yeah, told you.
Like, having the Pain Knight and having...
Pain dog?
The pain dog, right? Means that your jacks are really well protected, which is really neat, and obviously your caster is too.
Yep.
Which is a really big buff. Like, one
which tier can the Nyss healer go in? Can it go in?
He can go in House Guard. And
so,
the list guy.
Yeah.
On the piece of shit. Okay.
Yeah.
Why is that even a model, especially with the fame?
Why is Colby Bryant, piece of shit of the dog shit, a model? Who
cares?
Okay,
fine.
Right? Like,
oh, Colby Bryant.
Correct. They write models that make no sense that nobody would rightly play, but I don't know.
Well, they make models that look
people
cool,
are mad
and then they give them.
Who knows? Having double shield guard is a good buff to a.
It also protects your other
souls, theme.
And you can take things for free, and those are good. Yep. But in terms of free solo value, it's very hard to pass up the fucking red stupid Mage Hunter tier.
Yeah, look,
I'll be honest,
Mage Hunter tier is super...
I'm seeing that one on the table. I'm much more impressed with it on the table than it looks
like.
Yeah, because
it reminds us of the old one. The old one was pretty good. And yeah, they don't exile line of sight now. And yeah, they have to kind of try. But
on the other hand,
it's still Raven and it's still Mage Hunters.
Well, it's also like, before, right, okay, yeah, it had more Mage Hunters, but now it has more dickhead solos and the slots of Syra, the spears of Syra.
Those guys fucking...
So, what there actually are Kayazi bears.
Yeah.
We've had legendary bears and okay bears, which are the actual great bears. Now we have Kayazi bears, because they are def 15, 17
stealth.
With stealth, and they have exactly
Shield Guard, Vengeance.
Shield Guard.
Every single rule. You know how a bunch of models have. You're like, good rule, bad rule, bad rule, amazing rule, garbage rule. They're just good, good, good. They're just like...
They're like Kayazi Eliminators. All the rules flow into each other.
They're the
and
nerds.
They have the one...
They're the nerds, right? They just got A's all down the board, right?
They're power gaming models.
Their report card is all A+.
Yeah, it's like, this is a model designed by a power gamer.
That's where all Gorshade's score went.
Yeah.
Yeah. Specifically,
he cheated off the wrong test.
Yeah. Specifically, also, they have grunts, despite being a character unit. So, yes, Gorshade can revive the spears. After
That's
using
fucking
them.
Retarded.
It's
because they're unnamed. For
yeah.
some reason.
For some reason. Well, to be fair, if you could take multiples of these, I might throw up. But, well. The Syra theme is a bit... The Mage Hunter theme is a bit...
one-dimensional because of the lack of models you can realistically take for it. And
badass solos. You've got the two key units, which is the melee unit and the shooting unit.
Yep.
You got infinite warjacks as per usual. It's fine.
Seems fine.
It's fine. Oh, it's 100% fine.
It doesn't seem that one-dimensional. It means you can adjust the list as need.
Yeah, the list tends to always look the same-ish because it's usually two units of Strike Force, the Spears, and a unit of Mage Infiltrators. But then from there, it's fucking solid. You get a free Iris 1, a free Narn, and a free Mage Hunter Assassin. And I hear those guys kick a lot of fucking ass. You get plus one to go first. I mean, sorry, plus one to roll to see if you want to go first. By the way, one thing we didn't mention with SR2017, is there any reason not to go first? Because
yeah,
definitely
because
not.
If you do the cluster method and you end up with an aid side, you don't want the aid side.
Ooh.
The cluster method barely works.
Me and Dylan did it, and then immediately redid the terrain because it was so bad.
It's so bad.
Yeah, Scatter and Quadrant are basically the same-ish. One has more RNG, but like it doesn't really matter. They both are fine. But yeah, Cluster is like... I remember Arian...
We did it, and like I had to do it again.
Arian did
the dumbest table.
Arian did too.
And I remember Arian got an illegal table. The only table he could actually... The only place he could put the remaining terrain was like the bottom right corner of the map. You're like, yeah, that's not working as intended.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Functional.
Oh, and before I forget, yes, the Shadows of Retribution has takedown, but not takedown. Cool.
RP City, that's fine, I guess.
It actually probably isn't too bad. And
I mean, they did the same thing with Trolls. It's not...
Look, yeah, but you definitely can deliver these Mage Hunter guys better than Trolls.
You can deliver them into the Pirates of the fucking Caribbean, so who cares?
True.
I just want to see less of the Pirates of the Caribbean.
That's fair. I don't want to see them at all.
So if the fucking Strike Force all of them...
Yeah, I mean, Sorsha, like, let's be honest, right? I don't want to go for the nuclear solution. I just want to be lazy. And
Sorsha's not the nuclear solution. She's the fun solution to all problems.
It's true.
We need to go and just send Dylan with a whole bunch of RFP to wherever Tom Guan is playing for the next 3 or 4 months and just get him really sad about Pirates.
That seems really expensive. You know how many plane chips we'd have to pay.
Coming
for
soon to you, a Dark Guidance Kickstarter so that we can send Dylan overseas to make people really sad.
Not send him overseas, to follow Tom around the world.
Stuff him in Tom's fucking suitcase. It doesn't matter, right?
Yeah. Alright, look guys, I think that's it for tonight. I think we covered most of it fairly well in our usual rambly way. Thank you guys for listening. I would be curious, as I said, most of the stuff we're talking about is going to be probably obsolete by the time you listen to this. Maybe, but we're hoping the core rules or the core design aspects we were talking about still hold true. And with that, I bid you guys adieu. Thank you for listening.
Thank you for participating in this first community integrated podcast.
Nah, fuck you all in the community. You're shit, fucking cunts.
We are closing our forums for the CID and we'll review just how much we fucking hate Nathan. Good night.
Good night.